I recall the message preserved by the truth, and I thought of, Lord, what about calling it preserved by truth? Do you understand that? But then I started thinking of different scriptures, and I went to John 14, verse 6. You remember that? Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the truth and the life. You remember that? And no one comes to the Father except through me. So then, I call it why preserved by the truth and not preserved by truth, because we must focus on the person of Jesus. We must focus on the person of Jesus. He is the truth. He is the truth. All what you do, church, if we don't have the person of Jesus in place, it doesn't matter how good it looks, it will pass away. It is temporary. It is subject to corruption. It will not be preserved to the end because it's subject to corruption. So he is the truth. And therefore, think about him, the truth. Go into John 1:1. You remember that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. Therefore, we see, let's go to verse 1, please. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, in this context, then, if you think about John 14, 6, in this context, I can rightfully say so. In the beginning was the truth, and the truth was with God, and the truth was God. Will I be right to say so? Yes. Come on. Yeah. And the truth was with God, or was God. Therefore, go into the other verse 2, please. The truth was in the beginning with God. So actually, outside God, we don't have the truth. We don't have the truth. I'm almost going ahead of myself. And therefore, that's so important then, to know that he's the truth. We must see things, church, in the light of the scriptures. However good they are presented by flamboyant looking presenters, we must see things in line with the truth. Let's go to the same verse 14. I want you to see something there in verse 14. Oh, I wasn't seeing this banner from there, the platform. So we have a banner here. Oh, these are beautiful and handsome people. All of them. Now look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Let's read it together, please. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Verse 15. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Okay, let's think about in the natural. That actually is showing us again that he was the Messiah. Yeshua Mashiach. He was the Messiah.
Naturally, by birth, he was about 6 months older than Jesus. You remember that? Remember the Christmas story? But look at this. He says, he who comes after me is preferred before he was before me. He was in the beginning with God. He has no beginning or end. He's the eternal one. He's the creator of heaven and earth. Now look at this verse 16. Let's read this together, please. And of his what? Fullness we have all received, and grace. someone. Now look at this. This one you have to jump.
To smile by not just reading it, proclaiming it. Okay? Let's read it together. For out of his what? Fullness, which is what? Let's hold right there. Is there scarcity there? Is there a lack there? Out of abundance. So look at this. If you're talking about Christianity, you need to think about abundance. In fact, in John 10:10, he says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have what? Life, and have it what? More abundance. Abundantly to overflowing. Are you seeing sinner there? Kitu kidogo? I want people tell me this. You know, you can be around people and say, sunpatie kitu kidogo. I say, oh, really? You want that? Then I can get even if it's a button, a small button, say, will you have the, no. Kitu kidogo, pesa hivi. Oh, kidogo. Let me see if I have some 5 bob. They don't want. Yeah, they think of kitu kidogo. Why don't you think, give me what you have out of his fullness. Not scarcity, out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received. How many people received? All received, church. All received. All received. Not some people, all received. And if you all of us receive, you won't say it's enough, we can't receive anymore. All is available. Out of his fullness, abundance, you have all received. All had a share, and we are all supplied with, let's read it together, one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. And you are still seated. Oh, glory to God. My goodness. We need to read the scriptures and be quiet and see it until scarcity takes off. Amen. Until scarcity. Like what Miss Tina was saying, the conversation we had. I could not imagine sewing what, I know where she was at. She was at, but I asked how much she said, I have this. I could not imagine sowing that small seed. I said, but Pastor, that's what you had. Yes. But that's not all what God had. You understand? I have to think in this manner many times. If it doesn't cost me something, I don't know if it's going to be a blessing to someone. We started talking about giving. It's about the kingdom of God. Out of what? It's favor and gift heaped upon gift. Would you please go and meditate on this? If you can get this, you meditate on it long enough, light will come upon you. So much light. Now let's go back to our New King James Version, verse 17. For the law, let's read it together, please. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and what? Truth came through Jesus Christ. So don't forget that of grace and truth. In John 8:12, the New International Version, so we've seen that is the truth. The New International Version says this, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, I like that. Church, listen to these words. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Goodness. The world is becoming dark. Huh? Tina and I like watching the Olympics. I wasn't there for the opening. But when I started seeing that, I was choking now to watch it. I felt like every bit of it had that spirit. You see what I'm saying? You see the way you start something, really, it shows the spirit is carrying. Come on now, you don't know the Olympics around? Is that the way you cheer up during the Olympics games? But look at this. The world is becoming darker and darker. Oh, but God. Whoever does what? Follows me, Jesus says, will never walk in darkness, but will have what? The light of life. What has that to do with the truth? Because the light of the world is the truth. Remember, it's the same person. You will not know something is true if you do not have the light of the world, Jesus. You will not know that something is true if you do not have the light of the world. The light is what illuminates you. You are able to see even when it's so dark. You can see. You can see. Have you ever gone to a dark room? And you found a plastic that felt like it had crawled on you, and it was cold and slithering. How did you feel? Rejoicing, praise God, hallelujah. Until you had a flashlight. And you realize that's plastic. That's not a snake. As Tammy was thinking, Tammy Meros, you came from Marisabit on Wednesday, and everything is going so well, thank God. But Tammy Meros, I think I was thinking, you told you, thinking about scorpions, and scorpions and what, snakes. I use my faith, I don't think about those things when I go to such places. There are scorpions and snakes there, but I don't have to meet with them. You understand what I'm saying? But there's so many kinds of bugs that sometimes use your net, not because they are mosquitoes, but because of the bugs. You don't know who's going to crawl over your bed. Am I scaring you all? Listen. Remember, I'd made a statement, when you believe a lie, it obscures the truth from you. You have to think about obscure as what? Causing darkness. Is that so? Yeah. Hiding light. Okay? So think in this manner. When you receive the light of the world, Jesus, you have that light inside of you, that which is even hidden is able to be light, or is able to come upon it or to shine upon it, and you don't have to walk in darkness. Judge everything by the word. Not what someone say, but what the Bible says. Judge everything by the word. Lies affect the eyes and ears of hearts. Lies affect the eyes and ears of our hearts from seeing and hearing the truth. So therefore we must allow the word of God to keep shining in our hearts, like what Psalm 119 says, verse 130, the entrance of your word does what? Gives light. It gives what? Understanding to the simple. That we must allow the word to enter in. Church, every day you are being bombarded with lies. So is it by or with lies? Whatever word you use. Every day. That if we don't guard our hearts and our minds, we will accept lies as the truth. About ourselves and about other people. About ourselves and about other people. And can I say, Father, about the church of Christ, about the nation. We need to go to the light of the word of God. For God to enlighten us. In essence, think about this. If I spend time with the Lord, He will show me what he's thinking about our nation. But many places you visit won't show you that. Have you realized nowadays? Drop that thought. But I have a dear church member. Who is she today? Oh, Mrs. Campbell over here. The daughter lives in the UK, and we were speaking last evening, and she was telling me this, that the daughter kept hearing, she wanted to come to Kenya, but kept seeing and hearing of advisory, travel advisory, messages and all that. And she waited and waited, and she realized I need to go home. She came. She realized we are walking around. We are eating. You understand that? Have we had problems? Have we had problems? Yes, we have. We have. Have we been walking around?
Yes.
Have we been breathing?
Yes.
Oh, really? And it's not like every time we are breathing, tear gas. Look at this. But you can listen to the wrong voices and make decisions based on the wrong voices instead of asking or inquiring of the Lord. To walk in the truth and to perceive things the way God wants you to perceive them, you must be a person who inquires of the Lord constantly to grant you light. Many voices will say something, but you inquire, Lord, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Lies affect the eyes and ears of our hearts. If you give attention to them, and they stop us from seeing and hearing the truth. Psalm 11 verse 3, we looked at it. I'm repeating some things, injecting some thoughts. There, in Psalm 11 verse 3, the Amplifier says this: if the foundations of a godly society are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundations of a godly society. And we looked at foundations that we need to uphold, no matter how much the world will change into more darkness. We spoke about love. You remember that? Honor. Truth. And I've added, we looked at it, faith and hope. You must walk in honor, in love, in the truth, in hope, by faith. Remember 1 John chapter 5, verse 4? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Can we have it there, please, the New King James from verse 1? 1 John chapter 5 from verse 1. So it doesn't matter how things are going to change, and they're going to change in the world. People no longer, many don't respect God, don't honor God. They don't see the need of even honoring their parents. But what about the righteous? This is our foundation. Remember again, Psalm 11 verse 3. This is our foundation. Let's have it, please, from the New King James Version. This is our foundations: love, honor, truth, faith, hope. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we do what? We keep his commandments, and his commandments are not what? Burdensome. And then, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That's the spirit of the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And we know in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we must have those foundations in place: love, faith, I mean love, honor, truth, faith, hope. 1 Corinthians 13:13, the New King James Version first, and then I read the New Living Translation says this, and now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Years ago, the Lord spoke to me in 1996 and showed, really revealed to me about his love, and it was an amazing experience. And I've said it over and over again over the years. I've taken 1 Corinthians chapter 13, especially from verse 4 to 8, the Amplified Version, and every place that it says love, I say I. So in other words, like verse 4, it says, I say it, I endure long, and I'm patient and kind. I'm never envious, nor boil over with jealousy. I endure long, and I'm patient and kind. I'm never envious, nor boil over with jealousy. I'm not boastful or vainglorious. I do not display myself haughtily. I am not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. I'm not rude and mannerly, and I do not, and it goes on and on and on. To the end. Why is that so? Because you want whatever it is in your heart is love is in its place. Why is that so? Because God is love. These three abide. Faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. One of the signs of the end times is offense. People are easily offended. That's the one of the signs of end times. Listen to this, church. In a good way, you have to get this analogy. In a good way. You must develop an alligator skin on you. But that skin should be the love of God. Okay, let me put it in this manner. Crocodile skin. That is not every time you touch a little. You know what I'm talking about? Easily offended. People are easily offended. That's one of the signs of the end time. I don't like the way they spoke to me. Oh, really? And then you activate what? The love of God. Faith in God. That people can do something that you don't like completely, but choose to love, forgive, and love no matter what. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. The 1 Corinthians still 13:13, the NLT says this. These three will do what? Last forever. Does it seem like they are preserved? Yeah? Come on. If you keep something and it's going to last forever, has no expiry date. How is that? I mean, that's wonderful. What do you like mostly, Mama Caroline? That you want to last forever, it doesn't expire. in your fridge. that it will never expire. But these three will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these three is love. Then I say, truth is truth. It cannot be redesigned. Truth is truth. It cannot be redesigned. It's truth. It's truth. Again, this is the craziness of the world. He is seen a man in a boxing ring with a girl. What do you expect? you didn't see that? Don't look at me as if you haven't watched any of these Olympic games. I mean, just think about, and then they are surprised. The world is surprised about that. What are they surprised about? If they say there's no female or male, and they allow everyone to go to the ring, so he's a girl, an Italian girl, came out of the ring. I can't fight with a boy. I can't compete with a boy. Boys are boys. And girls are girls. You see that confusion in the world? That's why you need the truth. To be so solid in your heart that there is no mistake about it. There are boys and girls, there are women and men, and it's men and women who marry. Groom and the bride. And the groom can never be the bride. Come on, what do we need? What is it that we need? We need to be retaught, I mean, about that. That's why they say that our great-great-great grandfathers were not educated. I say, no, that's not true. That's not true. They didn't have a formal education like to sit in a class, but they were educated. Yes. They were educated. And they knew the difference when the child is born. They could see, this is a boy, this is a girl. Come on now. They could tell. They didn't need to go to school to be confused. This is the boy. Yeah, a boy. Yeah, a girl. They knew that. So look at this. People become, they say like, oh, our education. And then they get so confused, they can't tell. Even if they see, this is a boy. But he's feeling like a girl. We need to say with the truth. Amen. We need to say the truth. To live in the truth, to live in truth, is to live in a relationship of love with Jesus, who is the truth. He's the one who revealed to us the intents of the Father, showing us, opening our eyes to see, for us to perceive His will in our generation. Let's go to Isaiah 60, the New King James Version. It says, arise, shine, for your what? Light has come. Now, can you see about light? Remember, He's the light of the world. Think about that again. Of that truth. The light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And then he says this, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And what follows next? And deep darkness the people. And deep darkness the people. That they can see. They can perceive the truth. Pilate asked Jesus, and I think it's in John 18:37, what is truth? What is truth? He couldn't perceive the truth. What is truth? But because darkness covered the people. And then he says this. It's prophetic utterance by Isaiah. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Oh, that's to his people. When it's dark in Egypt, there's light in Goshen. When they are confused in Egypt, there's peace, direction in Goshen. God's people know what to do. Amen. Hallelujah. God's people know how to do. What to do. Because they're in the light. And that's the light we must have in every situation. Lord, what am I supposed to do? I mean, let me make some statements here. To live in truth is to live in a relationship of love with Jesus, who is the truth. Remember a statement that I made, I'd read it somewhere, that when you speak the truth, you don't have to remember anything. Are you having problem remembering when you are talking to people? You know, I don't remember well. Yeah, Did you speak the truth last time? Have you had that conversation? I don't know if I remember well. Really? Did you speak the truth last time? I'm not proud of this, but that's the way I became at some point. I think from most likely from 17, age 17, at 23, when I became a new creation, I lied to people. Until when I met with a person, I don't know what I told them last time. That was so confusing. You understand? And then therefore, the devil's in me then. Thank God I'm a new creation. I have to start a conversation like, so Flora, last time, what was it we were talking about? You know, in a way to be refreshed. That's terrible. That's terrible. I don't have to do that. Amen. I don't have to do that. That for me, that's freedom. That's freedom. I was talking to Pastor Carl last time before she left. We're having a conversation. I said, Pastor Carl, you know I'm not trying to do anything of myself. For me, nothing. Everything is so clear as it can be. She told me this. Davis, if you are crooked, you think I wouldn't have known? You think I wouldn't have known? I'll never forget a certain woman many years ago who told our secretary Sheila that I practice witchcraft. God showed her. So I was called into a meeting with Pastor Wade. And then Sheila. So I didn't know what it was. So Pastor Wade began. So tell me, dear. You want to tell me that my associate will be practicing witchcraft and I don't know? I thought, what? What are they talking about? I had seen in a vision, in a dream, how I practice witchcraft. And then it became terrible. One thing after another. And her eyes started rolling. I'm telling you, she's there, like she was carrying that spirit herself. Her eyes started rolling. And she stood up. And she stormed. Boom, left the office. I thought, goodness, Lord. Now when did I start practicing witchcraft? She always to herself, you know, like they're behind there. I was told by this lady, you need to pray. He practices, God showed me, he practices witchcraft. And let me tell you the story behind that. She used to be supported by the ministry every month. Then at some point we sat down. I was there to do the work, not to make a decision, you understand that? But then I was told by Pastor Wade, find out, by the way, we've been sowing into this lady's life this amount of money every week. She's strong. Is she not working? I mean, every month. Is she not working? And what's the issue? We need to review this sewing. Okay. So I called her. I asked her. I asked her. And then a decision, so I gave back the report. So realize she's strong. She was okay. She was walking around as a prophetess. Not working. I mean, seriously, I was in the staff, I wasn't making that much money. She was making double of what else every month. So it was removed. Oh, she realized I was the problem. I was a messenger. Many people don't realize that in authority. Listen to this, I wouldn't do something that is not approved by Pastor Carl. No. No, not really. I have to listen to the Lord and submit it to her. And people think like one can wake up and do anything. And that's in the political system. Huh? Oh, I won't say such. I don't want to appear 9 o'clock news. So fellowship, that relationship, that fellowship with the Lord will reveal truth to you. First is salvation through him, but that's not all. You must have fellowship with him through the Holy Spirit. This means that, church, you must love the Word. You must love the Word and everything that pertains to the kingdom as a lifestyle. The Word is my lifestyle. This is my life. This is the way we think. This is the way we talk. Then that fellowship will be so intact in us that when darkness comes in, you have the truth. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. Talking about that fellowship. Chapter 1 from verse 5 says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is what? Light, and in him is no what? Darkness at all." Go next, please. "If we say that we have what? Fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." There are many debates. Of what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to drink a little bit? Am I supposed to drink a lot? Am I supposed to? I tell people, that's upon you. You take a little bit for the stomach. You go ahead with your little bit for the stomach. As for me and my house, will not touch alcohol. I saw what it did to my family. I saw how it brought poverty to my family. I saw how I was addicted to it, that I couldn't come out of it except the Lord delivering me. I saw it killing my own brother. Why would I say a little bit? I'm not missing anything. Water is sweet. And I'm okay. In fact, I rarely drink juices. And I like water. Even if I wake up at 3 a.m., I'm starting my day then. In my study, there's a boiling, a kettle. I start boiling water. It's sweet. I don't need anything else. Then much later, I can have a cup of coffee. But I can do without coffee or tea. I've touched a nerve of someone there. Doing without tea. It's a live nerve. So look at this then. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness and we lie and do not practice the truth. And look at this verse 7. But if we walk in the light, what is that? Think about the truth. Think about the Word. Okay? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with one another. And that activates the blood to do what? To cleanse us from all sin. Even in the things we do not know, that blood is flowing. That blood is flowing. Because we are pursuing the truth. The thing I like about King David is even when he made mistakes, he was quick to repent. That people don't. Don't. Sukufanya. But David does. You activate the blood to flow and cleanse you. And then look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we do what? We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. No one can say I have no sin. Listen, I don't go out looking for sin, practice sin. I don't. But listen to this. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. And verse 10, if we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Walking in the truth is such an attitude of humility and to walk in the power of God of our redemption. We have to be consistent in our pursuit. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, the New Living Translation says this, May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and what? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us, be with you all. Let's say it together, please. You've said it since you are a child. Let's say it now with revelation. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So you're talking about, remember, he came through what? He came with what? Jesus. With? John 1:14 with what? Grace and truth. So he talks about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he starts talking about the love of God. John 3:16, he loved. That he gave his only begotten son. That should always be the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and fellowship, companion, unity, one is of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. So think about this. The grace, I've received the grace of God, which has activated that love to flow in me and out of me to people, that the love of God compelling me, and then have that fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. That fellowship, church, will change your life. Because ordinarily we like asking other people to help us, but we ignore the Holy Spirit that you've been given to help us. He's our helper. Lord, what am I supposed to do? In John 14, talking about the Holy Spirit, I want to introduce again that fellowship of the Holy Spirit is he's called the Spirit of Truth. So do I want to know that I'm walking with the Holy Spirit in fellowship with him? Truth. I'm a truthful person. I'm an honest, sincere person. Truth. That has to be inside of us. All the time. All the time to the aspect that you can go back to someone you're told something and say, actually, I lied to you. Huh? That's the truth. You understand? You know, you talk to Miss Wairim, and then you realize, that's not the truth. You go back and say, not you realize, you're convicted. You know those things are not realized. You're convicted. You say, you know, Wairim, actually, I told you a lie. Do you think she's going to think less of you?
No.
In fact, she'll start thinking of her own. That she said and she hasn't repented of. Come on now. Yeah, it's true. Really. We must be that kind of people. I told you a lie. Forgive me. They won't go, ah, you even lie. Because they themselves know. They've never confessed that. That's wonderful. Am I left alone just with me and my wife? Or we are still together, like you say in Kenya. Are we still together in that part? That's why when people say to Kopamoja, don't agree with every person. Don't agree with every person, because some of them we aren't. And many of them, actually, you aren't together with them. But listen to this, he's the Spirit of Truth. So I'll say this, if we want to walk in that unity with the Spirit of God, we must be lovers of the truth. If we walk in that unity with the Spirit of God, then we must be lovers of the truth. We say the truth at any cost. Yeah. The Spirit of Truth, John 14:17. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. Are you seeing that? The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But listen to this. But you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. Really, that should not be difficult for us being truthful. Should not be difficult. We have to have the truth in front of us. And the more we go to the Word of God, the easier it is. Really, to say the truth. The easier it is. You don't have to remember anything. You just say the truth. In John 16:13, again, the scripture says that, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into what? All truth. All truth. He'll guide you into all truth. All truth. You'll be around people and you can tell, that's not the truth. Young person, and the mature ones, not all young people, don't get married to an habitually liar. I don't care how, if they have 18 big muscles all around them. Don't get married to an habitual liar. You'll be in big problems. It becomes bigger when you get married. Really? I remember the Lord telling me that don't try to appear to her the way you are not. Okay. So Tina saw me just as I was. Just as I am, I come to you. I mean, I felt for her when the Lord told me that to pray for her and then show her my payslip. I knew that was going to be a depressing moment for her. I remember I stayed in Udhiru 87. I used to stay with Pastor Maxwell Arua, who's a pastor now in Germany, and my friend Henry Ansali is a Ugandan living in China. So she came, she was teaching Pangani girls. She came all the way to see, you know, the man. And she'll visit me, I'll prepare chapatis. She still acknowledges I'm a good chapati preparer. And I haven't done it for many years now. She took over and then she trained someone else. So then we are walking. I had my payslip in my pocket, written Living Faith International. Then I said, actually, as we prepare for the wedding, I can say word for word of what I told, but as we prepare for the wedding, this is my payslip. You've heard of an English word of words like the countenance fell. Fell for sure. She went quiet. I'm thinking, you couldn't tell I was broke all this time. Does it take a payslip to show you there? We're getting married because of the Bible. I have the word of God, and I'm sincere about my pursuit. So anyway, she kept quiet. That evening was short. I got to the stage. Ordinarily, you know, I'll get to her at the stage, you know, from Udhiru to town. And she'll pay fare many times. We're still believing. And then, so anyway, that evening, I think she didn't want to pay for fare, for another fare. And if she was going to spend this little, she didn't need to spend it anymore. But she said, I want to be just alone. Okay. She did. She came around and we got married. And this coming, some few weeks, 16th August, will be 21 years. Amen. I'm so really grateful. Really so thankful. Because, thank God, if you found him with a lot of money. That's wonderful. Not all of us. Some few of us are the rare breed. We walk by faith and not by sight. So, but I had to be, the Lord told me actually, have to be open with her. That's the foundation you are setting. Be open. Let us see what you have and you don't have. She didn't need to take long to see what I had. You understand? It could have taken her a long time to see what I didn't have, but I had the word. And I'll still have the word, and it will take us to the, it will preserve us to the end of our lives, and we'll be glad that we serve the Lord at our old age and go home to be with him forever and ever. He's worthy. 1 John chapter 4, as we wind up. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now look at this verse 5. They are of the world, therefore they do what? They speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Now hold right there, we're coming back. Hold right there and go to John 18, please, verse 37. I wish you could have, we had two screens, one showing another and showing this other scripture. But look at this. John 18. The latter part of which he says, of course Pilate asked, Are you a king then? Then Jesus said, you say, right, that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Are you seeing that? That I should bear witness to the truth. And don't ever forget this statement. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Why are we not hearing the voice as we should? Are we allowing, entertaining many lies? To crowd the truth? From us hearing the truth? Everyone who's of the truth hears my voice. Now go back to that scripture, please. Don't forget that. Everyone who's of the truth does what? Hears my voice. He came to bear witness to the truth. Let's go to 1 John again, chapter 4, verse 5. Look at this. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world hears them. But everyone who's of the truth hears who? The voice of the truth. The world does not have the truth. They reject the truth. I think about that issue about the Olympic, those 25-year-old of that Italian girl choosing a boxer. Now, I'm not going to fight with a boxer. But you see, they're having those issues because they rejected the truth long time ago.
Yes.
They rejected the truth. Have you heard in the U.S., like, you know, a man going and raping girls because they've removed the signage of boys and girls on the toilets? So if one goes, a pervert goes, and perverse girls, then you've rejected the truth. You are in this problem because the root is you rejected the truth. You see that? So the more the truth is rejected, the darker it becomes. It becomes in an area. That's why we must stay with the truth. Sanctify them with your word. Your word is what? Sanctify them. That's what? John 17:17. Sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify, consecrate, separate them from the world system, because the world, they hear, therefore they speak. They are of the world. Jesus says, I'm from above, you're from beneath. I'm not of the world. If you are of the truth, you could have heard the truth that I'm speaking to you. I'm not of the world. He spoke to the Pharisees and told them, you are from beneath. I'm from above. Those who are from above speak the truth. The highest form of living is living by the truth. No matter the challenge, you still have hope. You still have faith. You have love. Amen. So like what I was telling you, we got married with so much faith and hope. And that has not ceased. It's growing. We are more hopeful concerning the future than ever before. Why? Because of the truth. Go to the other verse, please, verse 6. We are you quiet? We are of God. He who knows God does what?
He hears us.
He hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The truth will preserve us. One of the words to preserve is to keep for future use. In other words, free from decay. Yeah, from free from decay. What does that mean? What is decay? Think about this. It's corruption. Corruption of this world is decay. So you are kept from decay, preserved by God, cocooned by Him because of His love. We preserve that no matter what happens around us, we preserved by the truth. Why is that so? Because the corruption that is in this world, but the word of God is called what? The incorruptible word of God. Incorruptible seed we preserved by the truth. Someone told me years ago, I was with Deacon Norman talking to this individual years ago, and she kept hearing stories, one story after another. I said, I don't know that. And another story, I said, I didn't know that. He said, you live in a bubble. I said, that's a good bubble. That's a good bubble. I didn't know. I mean, I had stories. My goodness, that woman, you could listen to her for all the, you know, hearing one story after another. How do you know them? How do you know them? Many stories. And she actually said, you live in a bubble. I said, that's a good bubble. I sleep. Amen. You can't listen to all these lies and sleep. Good sleep. Do you hear what I say? You can't listen to all these lies and sleep. You'll panic at night. Panic attacks. Too many lies. I said, who was telling me that? Who was this? Oh, come on. You're talking to, and was asked by the doctor. He said, oh, okay. Let me see if I can put right. Prom, breshtebe, kestedeshi. Was asked by the doctor. Yeah, what is the problem? Why are you having all these health issues? What is your problem? She said, news. Who was telling us that? Oh, yeah, it's news. All this problem caused by news. What do? Switch off your gadgets. So, well, that's what you do. I have all these problems in my head. What is it? News. Switch them off. Tina and I, for years, used to pray, we'll play the word the whole night, actually. Like there's a time, play King James Version, Bible, the whole night in our bedroom. Until you got now, then later on, music, instrumental, like in the background, the whole night. Then later on, you got little Tina. So you have to be knowing what is happening in the other rooms at night. So I've missed those moments. You have to say with the truth. Do you receive something out of that?
Yes.
So next Sunday is Pastor Michael. But stay with the truth, church. We're in a place that still we have to stand by faith, praying for our nation. Don't stop. Remember First Samuel I read out to you last Sunday? Of don't sin by stopping to pray for the nation, because of all that is ending today. You've watched since Monday? Did you begin on Monday? then it's ending today evening, and you've had all the answers, you've had all details about those interviews. Don't do that. You don't need them. Ask the Lord. Amen? Oh, you're quiet. You get excited when you're watching television until your pastor is telling you the truth. Stand up on your feet, please. As you prepare to receive Holy Communion, lift up your hands before the Lord. Oh, before then, let me say something here that has really helped me. I heard from Pastor Carla years ago that she prayed, and mostly it was because of all what was happening in the world and watching television and all that. And then she started asking the Lord, praying this prayer, "Father, help me that I don't believe even a single lie." Then I added something to that prayer, and I pray it regularly, many times. "And Father, and if there is even one lie that I've accepted as the truth, forgive me." And then I put Matthew 15:13 there, "And every plant, every lie that you have not planted in me, I uproot it. I want the truth. Help me to perceive the truth." And then Psalm 50, "Father, let me know the truth in my inward parts." To perceive the truth, to know the truth, to not be deceived by the world system, and to stand in that truth for the rest of my life. And then I'll add a scripture to you. I was talking to Miss Tina last evening. In Acts chapter 10, verse 35, Peter has gone to the house of Cornelius, and he heard of what Cornelius had received as a revelation, actually, saw an angel, and the angel instructed him. Can we have it there, please, verse 35? Start from verse 34, please. Listen to this. We can have it from the New King James Version, that's fine. And Peter opened his mouth and said this, in truth, I perceive that God shows what? No partiality. But look what follows next, verse 35. But in every what? Nation. Now, see such keys there. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. I saw that, and I've meditated on it for many years. I saw such keys. Is one of it is always to have the fear of God inside of you. I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to cheat, I'm not going to deceive, because of the fear of God in me. Like what Joseph told the Potiphar's wife when she kept insisting, "You lie with me. Joseph said this, "I fear God." So then I've had to pray in this man, "Father, if there is any place in my heart that I'm not walking the fear of God, I repent of that. I confess it. Father, may your fear, that's a reverential fear of God, be so strong in my heart that I may walk in the truth and do those works of righteousness." Are you seeing there's so much that it ought to happen in yours and my heart? Huh? Before we point any finger to anyone or at anyone, you see what is supposed to happen? So much inside of us. So do you pray, please? Say, "Father," let it be from your heart. Say, "Father, forgive me for every lie that I've ever accepted as the truth. Every seed of this world that is not of the truth, I repent of it. And as your word says, every plant that you are heavenly, our heavenly Father, you have not planted, shall be uprooted. I agree with your word, and I uproot every lie, deception of the kingdom of darkness from my life. I open my heart to hear the truth, to perceiving the truth, to walking in the truth, and to walk in the light of your word. Thank you, Father, for my deliverance. Thank you for my healing. Thank you for your light in my heart. In Jesus' name. Will you just speak to him and thank him for his goodness? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And I'm going to pray a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23-24. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and wholly consecrated to God. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved, sound and complete, and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Faithful is he who's calling you to himself, and utterly trustworthy, and he'll also do it, fulfill his call by hallowing and keeping you. Father, your word says, this is your word, this is the living word of God. So shall your word be that goes out of your mouth. Shall not return to you void, but it shall accomplish that which you please and prosper the thing thereunto. Therefore, Father, preserve your people. Preserve those you've called in your name, and help them, Father, to perceive the truth. Light be in the name of Jesus, dispelling every darkness, every house, every seed of darkness, and letting that light to shine over their lives, Father, and in their lives. I praise you, Father, for your goodness. For you have said, let all those who call upon the name of the Lord depart from evil. Thank you for the fear of God in our hearts and in the hearts of your people, and works of righteousness that will honor you. I praise you, Father, may the conviction of the Holy Spirit be strong and convincing us concerning the truth, for us to walk in high levels of honor and the foundations of your word. I speak your blessing upon your people. I thank you, Father, for your light. In Jesus' name, amen.